Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Good day. People presenting with shortness of breath and dyspnea commonly present to our offices. While sometimes the cause is obvious, other times it can be really hard to determine in a complicated patient whether the cause of shortness of breath is congestive heart failure, asthma, COPD, or even an infectious process. Some protocols suggest that an ECG and a blood test for natriuretic peptide, also called BNP, might be helpful in diagnosis. This month's poem provides guidance for us on how to use BNP to help with the diagnosis of patients with a history of heart failure. Mark, what did the study in the American Heart Journal find?
Well, the authors looked at patients who were coming into the ER with acute dyspnea, and we know that using a cutoff of 100 picograms per milliliter, it's a pretty good test, but one of the concerns is that previous studies have often excluded patients with a known diagnosis of heart failure. We know that BNP levels in patients with chronic heart failure are often chronically elevated. So these folks may live with a BNP of 150 or 200 or 300 all the time. When they then come into your office or into the ED with dyspnea and you measure the BNP and see that it's over 100, it doesn't necessarily mean that heart failure is the cause of their dyspnea. They may be just chronically elevated and actually have a pneumonia or a PE. In this study, the researchers found 143 dyspneic adults who presented to the ED, about half of whom had a history of heart failure. All of them were felt to require hospital admission, so they were a pretty sick group. Blood was drawn for a BNP, and then the result was compared with the final cause of dyspnea as determined by a cardiologist after the patient was discharged. Now, the cardiologist did have access to the entire chart and therefore did know the BNP values, which might have influenced his or her interpretation and artificially inflated the accuracy of the BNP. What they found was that if you just use the standard cutoff of 100 picograms per milliliter, 68% of those with an elevated BNP had heart failure, but 32% had something else. Now, it was much better at ruling out when negative. 100% of those with a BNP less than 100 did not have heart failure as the cause of their dyspnea. So the BNP is great at ruling out heart failure when it's under 100, but it's not as good at ruling it in if it's over 100.
So we're actually fishing around for how we might be able to use this test to help diagnose congestive heart failure patients.
That's right.
Using 100 as a cutoff, it had great sensitivity. In other words, as you said, if the test was normal, it effectively ruled out congestive heart failure, but it had pretty horrible specificity. Did they look at other cutoff levels?
Yeah, they did. And this is a good example where a single cutoff just isn't nearly as helpful as thinking in terms of risk stratification. I think we're always taught that a test is positive or negative, when instead for a lot of these kind of tests, we should be thinking in terms of low risk, intermediate risk, and high risk patients. So all 31 of the patients with a value less than 100 did not have heart failure. For those with a BNP between 100 and 400, about a third had heart failure as the cause. And if it was over 400, three-quarters had heart failure as the cause. And when they looked at patients with and without a history of heart failure, the results were actually pretty similar.
So it
just helps to think about these kinds of tests as a continuum.
So really what we're looking for is some help in that intermediate group, the 100 to 400.
That's right. And a lot of tests function this way. If you think about creatine kinase or D-dimer or ferritin, a patient with a very normal value is very unlikely to have the disease. One with a very abnormal value, you might be able to stop your diagnostic evaluation right there and just begin treatment, whereas in the middle, you might need additional testing or close follow-up of those patients. And I just think, again, it helps to think in terms of low, intermediate, and high risk rather than just positive, negative.
Great. Some very helpful information on how we can use a BNP to help diagnose our patients with congestive heart failure. Thank you very much for this week's poem, Mark.
My pleasure.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.